Hey, what is up, guys? This is the Mangalog Podcast. This is a manga podcast where I introduce a brand new series each week, give some background about the manga and its creators, some details on the story and characters, while sticking to just like minimal to none on the spoiler spectrum. Just some general impressions about the writing and the art, etc. It's not a review cast. My goal is to provide you with just enough details to pique your interest and allow you to determine whether the series is something you think you'd want to check out. I try to focus on series that are legally available in English and can be accessed both digitally and physically. And my name is John. I am the sole host of the podcast, but I am welcome to community participation. You can read along with me. If you've read the series before, you can message me your own thoughts, maybe recommend some manga for the show, or some suggestions about the format, so new segment ideas or like one-off episode ideas or stuff like that. So around this time, I would give some shout-outs to the community. I actually do have a couple. So shout-out to Banana. That's a new follower on Twitter. Thank you very much. And another shout-out to Shane McDowell. I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry. he also followed me on Twitter. He actually has a comic published on Amazon. You can get it in print or digital. It's called Spirit Story, I believe. I didn't write it down. I tried to check out the preview, but it didn't really offer much except for like the front and back cover, but I thought I'd shout it out. I try to do that if I notice somebody following me as a creative or whatever, and they have some stuff that they plug on their social media. I figured I'd give them the extra. Not like I have like a huge audience or anything, but it's nice to be able to shout it out. And it's, you know, it's actually adjacent to what I cover on the show. It's a, you know, granted it's an American comic, but still pretty cool. Well, I'm assuming they're American. Maybe I shouldn't assume they're American. but yeah, thanks, guys. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. So this is episode 28. It's on the Seven Deadly Sins, written and illustrated by Nakaba Suzuki. This is his current series. It's been running since 2012. He's done a few series before this, but this is like his longest one. And I think it's getting ready to wrap up. I looked at like the chapter count on Wikipedia, and like the names of the last few chapters, like it says like epilogue and farewell was the name of one of the titles. So I'm assuming it's over, but like it hasn't, like the databases I'm using haven't updated the, you know, the volume count or the chapter count, and saying that it's concluded or whatever. So I'm not sure, but, yeah, it's published by Kodansha. Currently in Japan, there are 36 volumes compiled. In English, we have 32. I think May 14th, the 32nd volume dropped May 14th this past week, I think. And it's actually a simul publishing series by Kodansha. So there are actually 310 chapters out right now. And it's published through Weekly Shonen Magazine in Japan. At this point, you're familiar with it if you've listened closely to the other podcasts. I've covered a lot of Kodansha titles because, well, one, I had a huge Humble Bundle that I purchased, and that was a bunch of Kodansha titles, but I don't know, they always seem to go on sale, so I always seem to buy them and cover them for the show. So Seven Deadly Sins is a fantasy adventure. So what is the Seven Deadly Sins? It is about a boy named Meliodas. He owns a tavern on the hill. We're actually introduced to this kid, or actually he's not a kid, but I'll get more into that later. We're brought into the tavern at the start of the manga. It's called Boar Hat. He owns it. He also has a talking pig named Hawk that is kind of like his sidekick in the tavern. He's serving these guys foods and drinks. Apparently his food is terrible, but they still go to his place for some reason. And they're just kind of like BSing. They start talking about this Seven Deadly Sins. It's basically a group of people. They're like these well-known criminals. They tried to take over the kingdom a while back, or they were rumored to have done so, or tried to years ago. I think it was like 10 years ago, and they're still at large. Then they start talking about this rumors of this rust knight going around, I guess because the knight wears this rusty armor, and it looks very spooky. And they just start talking about that and how they're getting spooked out, just thinking about it. And lo and behold, that knight ends up busting through the door, and it's mumbling something about the Seven Deadly Sins. And, you know, it's kind of got this creepy vibe, but then the tone changes pretty quickly when the helmet falls off or is taken off, and we see that it's a girl. She's passed out. Meliodas takes her to one of the beds in the tavern or whatever. And of course, you know, he inspects to make sure it's a woman. Apparently, he couldn't tell. No, he just uses that an excuse to, basically like violate her. So it starts off with like the tropey like breast squeeze. It actually is not the typical trope of like a convoluted like accidental fall onto the person and grab their boob type of thing, but it's still, you know, it's still pervy. Not the best first impression of the series and Meliodas as a character. So he does play it off like he's like checking her heartbeat, which is a little funny because like he's like so unapologetically scummy. And even the pig, Hawk, comments on it a lot. He calls him out on his BS a lot. But he doesn't really get punished for it. And that's part of an issue I have that I'll get into later. But yeah, so it was kind of funny the first time. But then it happens again and again and again. And yeah, but as a tonal change after that kind of somewhat lame joke, things kick off pretty fast. All of a sudden, these holy knights come busting through the door. Holy knights is like this well-known army in the kingdom. I think they're there to protect the kingdom. They had gone to the tavern because they heard rumors of a seven deadly sin person being holed up in there or hiding in there or whatever. Despite Meliodas' efforts to basically turn them around, like, hey, there's nothing here, Elizabeth just takes off because she gets, like, nervous, and we realize later why, but she takes off, the knights notice her, they think she's one of the seven deadly sins, they go chasing after her, and then, you know, they fail at capturing her because Meliodas steps in, until, like, one of the higher-ups from this holy army, tries to basically kill them. He has this sword that, like, as soon as he slices it, like, sends this, like, shockwave, like, this wind. It's like, I don't know, if you ever played the old Zelda games, I believe you had, like, an upgrade to the sword, but, like, if you charge your sword and sliced it, which sent, like, a shockwave, basically that's what it is. Or, like, Trunks from Dragon Ball, I think he could do that. So, that kind of idea. He slices this part of the ground, and the cliff slides off, and then he thinks he's killed them or whatever, but he didn't. Meliodas steps in, and then the princess, around this time, I'm sorry, I'm getting like some stuff jumbled up, but around this time, Elizabeth, she reveals herself to be a princess. Actually, she doesn't reveal herself. I think one of the knights notices like she has an earring that has like a symbol of the kingdom or something, or royalty, and she reveals herself to be a princess, explains to Meliodas what's been going on in the kingdom. Apparently, the holy knights are not as holy as we think they are. The force has grown so large that they take advantage of the kingdom, they stage a coup d'etat, I think they capture the king, she goes off running, and she's been disguised as the rusty knight so that nobody finds her. And the reason why she's been mumbling stuff about the seven deadly sins is because she's trying to search for them to help her take back the kingdom. So after some shenanigans, Meliodas reveals himself to be one of the seven deadly sins. So, well, plot twist. it's relatively early. This is not much of a spoiler. I'm just setting up the main conceit for the series. And so he reveals himself to be one of the seven deadly sins. Basically, him and Elizabeth get away scratch-free. He asks her, hey, do you want to join me in fighting the others? Because I'm also looking for them. We kind of got separated years ago, and I've heard some scuttlebug around the kingdom, and I'm also trying to search for them. So basically, the manga follows them as they tackle like specific locations, try to pick up leads on stuff that will lead them to the other deadly sins. Meanwhile, the deeds that they do at those towns kind of grab the attention of different groups of enemies. And yeah, that is the setup for Seven Deadly Sins. These two and the pig and this other pig that's giant that carries the tavern on its back. They go from place to place looking for the other deadly sins. So, not gonna lie, this isn't really my thing, but I do try to go outside of my comfort zone for this podcast because I know that my tastes aren't everyone's tastes. So, and I'm not gonna pretend like they are, like, oh, I have the objectively better taste, you know. So I think I mentioned last week, my brother is really into the anime. He's watching this on Netflix. He really enjoys it. So, and I looked on my anime list, and it's like the 30th most popular series in that database. And it obviously has it. So it obviously has its fans. I'm not going to like bash anyone for enjoying it, but I don't know. This reminded me a little, I guess the closest comparison is Fairy Tail. It reminds me a lot about Fairy Tail, actually. A lot of Fairy Tail. Just like the fan service, you know, the perviness. It's better drawn, I think, than Fairy Tail, and that might be controversial for some people, but it's not as funny. One thing that Fairy Tail had going for it was the humor. I actually found it pretty hilarious at times, especially with Happy. It's like one of my favorite mascot characters. I love Happy so much. He's like the saving grace of that manga. But Yeah, it was just tough for me. I do enjoy the pig Hawk, mainly because he calls Meliodas out on his bullcrap, most of his pervy stuff. But I don't know, the characters are not too strong. So like we have like Elizabeth, for example. She's like my main gripe, I guess. She's essentially like a non-character. She's unfazed by Meliodas's like pervy actions and comments, and you know, she's like always blushing at every panel, and she's helpless, but she's like super nice for some reason. She's like super emotional at the same time, and then she's all like, because Meliodas saved her life, and she's like, oh, how can I ever repay you? And she's like infatuated with him, kind of, without really knowing who he is, just because he's a seven deadly sin. She's like got this awe for him, and she even calls him Sama, which is like if you use that today, that's kind of, that would be like ironic. If you're ironically calling somebody, you know, Sama as an honorific, it's kind of like, you'd only use that title for like godlike people. Like you've heard Kami-sama, that's how you would refer to God. And the fact that she's 16 and all this stuff's happening, and like Meliodas, questionably, he's probably like in his 20s or something. They didn't really establish his age. But it doesn't really help this manga's case at all. So yeah. But you know, so it definitely has some strong nopes. But you know, there, I think there's some redeeming qualities, and I'll get into that a little later. I really love the background art. I guess I'll get into it now because that's where my notes are heading. So I really love the background art. The tavern feels really busy. There's lots of little details. It's like, it feels very like lived in. without feeling like cramped, I guess. When they reach the first village, you get a nice shot from it afar, and it's really pretty. A lot of like mountainous area surrounding the village. It definitely feels like a fantasy. The character designs are really unique. Meliodas, he kind of looks like a cross between like a hobbit and like Link from Legend of Zelda. And so he looks like a child. It's really weird. I like him. I like his design. And outside of like being a perv, he seems okay. Like I like laid back characters. He's pretty chill. He's just like this little, he's super short. It's kind of adorable, but I don't know how I feel about him yet as like a person, or a fictional character, I should say. And then like Elizabeth, like she is fan service galore. Like when she's first introduced, she's got like the skin tight outfit, which I actually preferred compared to what Meliodas makes her wear, as like now she's like his barmaid, or not barmaid, whatever. Yeah, basically. And he has her dressed in like this short skirt and like this tight, half shirt. I don't even know what it's considered, but and I don't know how long she wears that, but it seems like she wears that for the rest of the series, I think. It's a fantasy. There's some action. The action's pretty quick. It's neat. I haven't seen any like super mega abilities. Like Meliodas hasn't really shown like his crazy powers. It's just that he's super strong, basically. So far. I did see one like Holy Knight that could produce, oh yeah, like the wind gust dude, from the beginning that I mentioned. And then there was another dude that like imbued this spear with lightning and like threw it super far. That was pretty freaking cool. But yeah, I haven't seen too much more, but this definitely is a fantasy. Like I said, there's a giant pig that carries a tavern on its back. I encountered some like transforming goblins, which was pretty neat. So they're goblins, but then they transform, they take on the shape of the person that they're trying to, their prey or whatever, I guess. And then there's a character that's revealed like at the end of the first volume that's a giant. So that's pretty cool. So I guess I'm fine with the series. I think with any long-running like shonen series like this, it's going to take a while for me to find traits about the characters that are going to really endear them to me. And it's just like, I feel like I'm doing this manga a little bit of a disservice because I didn't cover a lot of it before doing this podcast. So, that's the unfortunate bit. Unfortunately, that's the time I had. And I thought I'd check it out because it was on sale. And also it's like, well, my brother's watching this. Maybe I should check it out, see if, I think you guys should check out the first volume. I think it's still on sale, actually. It's one of Kodansha's like throwback sales, I think. I can't remember. I got it off of Bookwalker. I got like the first three volumes. But yeah, I do have some community participation, which always gets me so excited. From Hangaroni, and like shout out to Hangaroni, man. I love this dude. He's been adding some feedback to the podcast. He recommended Toriko on a past episode, so that was pretty cool. And he says, this manga is fairly average overall. It tackles a lot of interesting concepts, but never really elaborates on how they work, and the author misuses them often. What I do like, however, are the backstories of not only the characters, but different aspects of the world that they're in. It really makes the world feel alive and immense, but even then I do have some complaints. Even if the characters do have some elaborate backstories, I feel like they don't really add to the characters themselves, except for Meliodas. The art is generally nice, and sometimes it can get quite liney, but sometimes it can get quite liney, and it can get kind of bad. Overall, this manga is average. It has many flaws, but it certainly has its charm. Light 6 out of 10. So he gave it a score. I don't really give scores on this podcast, but that's his personal score, so take that as you will. The characters themselves are kind of underdeveloped. Basically, if your name isn't Meliodas or Ben or Elizabeth, you can say goodbye to any sort of character depth or development. Thank you very much, Hangaroni. He definitely has like a middling review of the series. It does feel like it's riffing off of other shonen, specifically I mentioned Fairy Tail, which is probably why it's not like terrible, because it's playing it kind of safe, but it also doesn't stand out because of that, unfortunately. I didn't really get into the backstories of the characters, which is unfortunate because I wanted to, and Hangaroni, you said it's a positive for you. But yeah, I guess if you give your characters great backstories and then don't really do anything with them afterward, it's really just like nice filler for the reader. Like, okay, well, this is where they came from. I guess that, you know, you might, based on like their dialogue or like their actions in the story, it's like, well, I can see why they feel this way about this thing because this is what happened in their past. But I guess if you don't do much with it beyond that, it's kind of like filler for the reader. And I am curious to see what the author does for Elizabeth, because right now I'm really not sold on her. Like, she's an attractive character. Like, he's does really good at drawing like busty females, for sure, but that's like all she is right now. It's just like fan service, you know, this helpless princess. As for the art, you mentioned that it was liney. I'm not exactly sure what you meant by liney. Maybe you could elaborate like through Twitter or whatever if you want, send me a message. But yeah, I thought the art in general was pretty pleasant. I liked it, actually. I think that's going to call it for this episode, guys. I wish I could have talked a little more about it. You guys are free to check it out. I didn't want to come off super negative. I think it's still worth reading. I can't speak for the whole series, obviously, because there's 36 volumes. But if you're looking for something, you know, a long-running shonen fantasy to check out, maybe check this out. It seems pretty, like, harmless for the most part. You know, there's some pervy stuff going on that I didn't really appreciate. But again, this series has its fans, it's popular for a reason. Check that out. That's Seven Deadly Sins. Next week the series is going to be Drifting Dragons. I wrote it down, I forgot who the author was, and I don't know where I wrote the author's name, but it's Drifting Dragons. I think there's like 3 volumes out right now. It's another Kodansha simulpubbing series. I think there's a Netflix adaptation coming soon, so it's kind of timely, and I'm dipping back into that Humble Bundle. I have so many series from there, and I'm trying to save money because I've been budgeting, and I'm like, wow, I'm spending a little bit too much money, and I'm trying to save like a car and stuff like that. It's just so I'm trying to prioritize a little bit, so I'm gonna dip into that Humble Bundle. These are series that I already own, so sorry guys if I'm like doing too much shonen or something lately. It's just unless I catch a series that I've been looking at on sale, and you know, things might stick around the shonen territory for a little bit, and some Kodansha titles. But yeah, that's gonna be Drifting Dragons next week, next Friday, so catch that episode. Thank you guys for the follows again. Thank you, Hangaroni, for the feedback. Really appreciate it. Again, you guys are welcome to leave any manga recommendations through Twitter, and any of your own thoughts on Drifting Dragons if you happen to have read it, so that I can add that to the show next week. All right. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful week, and I'll catch you later. Bye.